All right, let's pray, and we'll go. Dear God, Lord, I thank you they're able to be here, that we're able to come together, God. I pray that we would learn about the most important thing in life, knowing you and making you known, God. I pray that that you would speak to people, God. I know you will. I know you'll stir hearts for you. I pray that they would not be focused on other things around, but only you, God. And I pray that you would speak to us through all the speakers speaking, just through your word, and through the activities we'll be doing. You may pray. Amen. All right. First, on your little sheet thing, it's called the Revolutionary Encounter. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah.
All right, cool. If you notice, I have the title page and the little verse that goes along with it. What we're going to be doing... I'm kind of ADD-ish, I guess. I'm random. And so we might jump around, not between sessions, but jump around between the, fill in the blank kind of things. But we'll see here. Anyway, the first thing we're going to talk about is testimonies. Let me tell you about myself. When I was 6 years old, my parents, they sent me down in a room. We had this huge bed, and we were sitting there, and they said they had something really, really important to tell me. And they began to explain how, well, see, in my heart, Solomon said he's put eternity in our hearts. So I knew that there was a God. I knew that he existed. I also knew that I had disobeyed my parents. I had done some things I shouldn't, even at 6 years old. And I don't remember much, but this is what they told me. They told me that a man came to earth, lived, died, was buried, and rose again. And I was like, well, that's great and all. And they explained that this wasn't only a man, but it was God in the flesh. And they said, because of my sin, Romans 3:23, for all I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that I will be separated from a holy and pure God. Peter says, be holy, for I am holy. Jesus set the standard. He said, this is perfection. And if you come short of it, then you can't be with me. And I disobeyed, even done small sins. And I knew that there was a gap between me and God. And Jesus, when he came, he died on a cross for me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He died. It says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. And while I was still sinning, Christ took my sin, because he loved me, and died for me. Now, what's that mean? Basically, Romans 10:9-8 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raised from the dead, you will be saved. So how can I get back to God? Well, Romans also tells us that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, by faith, now I knew I could not have works to get to heaven. Ephesians 2 says, for by grace you have been saved, through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. So there's no way I can fill that gap to get to God, to get to heaven. No way I could do it. And Christ did it for me. So all I have to do is accept him. It's like a gift. If I hold out a gift to someone, it's not their gift until they take it from me. You guys didn't get those books until you took it from my hand. Same thing. So I accepted that gift. I prayed with them. Christ, Peter says, repent and be baptized that you may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I did. Holy Spirit, I couldn't see anything. I didn't feel any great thing. There was nothing, no miraculous, huge, overwhelming feeling that came upon me. But God came inside of me, forgave my sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So, I was forgiven, and Christ now lived in me. Now that, right there, is a testimony. That's what we call a personal encounter, the revolutionary encounter with Christ. Now, if you're a Christian, you have one of those. It may be totally different than mine. Mine, I was saved when I was really little. Some people, they do all kinds of bad things in their life. They're, eating out a trash can, whatever. God changes them miraculously, doing drugs, whatever. But your testimony does not have to be that drastic. Solomon, who built the temple? Who built the temple, God's temple, back in, 1 Kings?
David.
David. It was David's idea. It was his idea to build it. But God would not let him build the temple. Why? Why was David not allowed to build the temple? Because he had done some pretty bad things in his life. He committed adultery, and he murdered someone. So because of those sins, God wouldn't let him do things that he wanted to do for God. So his son, Solomon, comes along, hasn't done any of that, well, he didn't until later, but hasn't done any of that, builds the temple. Just because you don't have some life-altering, well, it is life-altering, but because it's not some, you know, from drugs to, you know, forgiven, just because it's not some huge, drastic sin change, it's okay. God will use that, and God will put you in places to be used, just like Solomon, that you couldn't normally be used because of your past sins. Does that make sense? Okay. So, each one of you has a testimony, if you're a Christian, and that's an amazing, absolutely amazing way to witness to someone. Because, fill in the blank, numero uno, because it cannot be refuted. Okay, this is really important. Turn to Revelation 12:1. In Revelation, the Apostle John is talking. And how can we overcome Satan? It's a good question, is it not? How can Satan be defeated? I mean, Satan's pretty powerful, and I can't stand him. He gets in my life a lot. Gets in my way. How can he be overcome? Look what the Bible says. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him," being Satan, "they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." It says they overcame him by Jesus' blood and their testimony. What's their testimony? Their testimony is putting their faith in Christ. Now, it says they did not love their lives to death, which means they didn't love life. They didn't love themselves so much that they weren't willing to die. They were willing to die for Christ. That's what it means. Now, it can't be refuted. Personal encounters are so vital because it shows that God is active in our lives. You know, lots of people have this big misconception that God is just some God that existed, was, you know, created everything, then left us little peons here to fight and fend for ourselves and do whatever we wanted, and he just stepped back and let earth happen. Well, a personal testimony shows that God is active personally in our lives, that God loves us, and that God wants to know us. So it's very important, because some people have this concept that God's just out there and we can never find him. I talked to one person in our school about that. It was very interesting. Completely scriptural. We're going to look at Acts. Turn to Acts. We're going to camp here for a little bit. Acts chapter 22. How many of you guys have heard of Paul, right? Mm-hmm. Paul. Now, it's very interesting. If you take your Bible and you do this, that's probably all Paul. Paul was a huge influence in Christianity, and God used him greatly. So when we talking about Paul, we're talking about someone who was used, revolutionized the world, turned it upside down for God. Well, look, Acts 22. Verse 1, it says, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now." Now, Paul he's about to get thrown in prison by the Romans. They haven't realized he's a Roman citizen yet. And he's before a huge, massive congregation. Massive congregation. He's getting ready to tell them about Christ. Let's see what he uses. What does he use to tell them? He says, "When they heard the language he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent than he said." So picture Paul up on this like banister kind of thing. All these hundreds of people down there below. Paul's getting ready to speak. It's dead quiet. And then he starts to speak in their own language. And it's dead silent. Now, I was witnessing to a guy the other day. Me and my mom were at the post office. And this, he spoke Spanish. And he opened the door for us. And I was like, "Mom, do you have a Spanish track?" And my mom is like, when she'll talk, she'll know. She has every kind of language, track language in the world. I mean, you have like Zimbabwe, and you have, you know, these stacks in her purse. And so she gave me this Spanish track. And I run to the guy. I was like, here's a track about Jesus I wanted to tell you. And he looks at it, and he says, "You speak Spanish?" And I go, because if you don't know me, Spanish is not my forte. And I was like, "Oh, no, sir, I don't speak Spanish." But my mom had this track about Jesus, and it's so important. It's in Spanish, and I wanted to give it to you. You speak Spanish, right? He's like, "Oh, yeah, definitely." And you could see in his eyes, it clicked with him, that when it's in their own language, that it's really important. When you do something that special for someone, they realize, wait a minute, there's something to this Jesus. There's something really important. And so that's kind of the thing of Paul. Everyone gets dead silent, just like that. And look what he says. He says, "Indeed, I am born a Jew." I love that word, "indeed," by the way. "I am born a Jew, born of Tarsus, of Cilicia,
And I brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you are today. Okay, look at this. We're going to look at 3 points of a testimony. We're going to see, it's basically the outline. When you write your testimony, when you tell your testimony, there's 3 huge things you have to remember. The first one is life before Christ. All have sinned. What is your life before Christ? Let's see what Paul does. He said, I persecuted this way. Did you know that's what we were called before that? We were called the Way. Before we were called Christians, we were called Christians in Antioch. And we were called the Way. Anyway, because it's the way of truth, I guess. That's what other people called us. The Way, I persecuted them to death, binding them and delivering them into prisons, both men and women. Also, the high priest bears me witness, and the council of elders, from whom I received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring the chains, even those who were here, to Jerusalem to be punished. Now it happened, as I journeyed here and came to Damascus, at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. How many of y'all know this story? You're familiar with it. That Saul converts to Paul. He's traveling along. Oh, very interesting thing. This randomly came to my mind. Told you it was a little random. Paul, I've always pictured my whole life him, you know, riding on a horse, and a huge light shines down, and God speaks to him, right? So I was pictured. But, because I've always pictured him on a horse. I don't know why, but I guess because the cartoons, I've always pictured him on a horse. But Paul never rode a horse, and never would ride a horse, because he was a strict Orthodox Jew, and a horse was a clothed animal, or cloaked, or whatever you call it, and its hooves were not, they didn't do it. It was unclean. They would never ride a horse. Only Romans rode horses. And so my whole life was like changed and altered when I realized that he never rode a horse. Anyway, so he was walking, probably, or he had a donkey. I don't know if it was a donkey. But he would either be walking or something else, but he wouldn't be on a horse. Anyway, back to the story. So he's riding, and this great light from heaven shone around me. Alright, look at verse 7. And I fell to the ground, and I heard the voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? That's a huge line. Huge line. Look what it says. So I answered, who are you, Lord? Did you notice he said Lord? He knew.
Yeah.
I'll show you in a minute. Hold on.
Sir?
Huh? Oh, sir? Okay, well, actually means Lord. So, never heard your translation used. I'm sorry. it means Lord. And the reason why it would mean Lord is because, like I said, eternity is in our hearts. Because people know there's a God. Did you know? I'm sorry, I'm totally random. Did you know that you have to choose to be an atheist? So, if someone tells you they're an atheist, ask them when they chose to be one. Because they weren't born that. They chose, it took a mental decision to choose to become an atheist. They were born, everyone is born with something in their heart that God puts to know there's a God. Very interesting. Okay, he says, who are you, Lord, or sir? And he said to him, Jesus says to him, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Guys, when people mock you, people persecute you for Christ, they're not just persecuting you, they're persecuting Jesus. That's vital. So, why is it so vital? When you're witnessing, and you present the gospel to someone, and they reject you and say, no, I don't want that. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Jesus. Does that make sense? So don't ever say, because they're going to reject me, I'm scared. No, they're rejecting Jesus, not you. And he says, persecuting me. So God is in us, and when people do things, mock us, persecute us for Christ, they're not persecuting us. Okay, and those who were with him, and with me indeed, saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So those last couple of verses, look, you have, we'll get to that in a minute. You have the encounter with Christ. Okay, that's what happened. What did you do to meet Christ personally? What happened? What did you feel? What do you remember? Do you see what I'm saying? You have life before, and then your encounter with, and that's what he's talking about. He's saying, before I persecuted, now, this is what happened. I was going on the road, light shone down, and God spoke to me. He said, so Lord, what shall I do? And he said to me, arise and go to Damascus, and there you will be told the things which are appointed for you to do. And since I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came to Damascus. And a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good, underline that, it says having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there. Guys, that's better than gold. That's more. It's one of the most important things, having a good testimony. Now, I'm not talking about testimony of when you met Christ. I'm talking about, right there, it's talking about your character. When people think of Austin, when people think of Jessica, when people think of Haley, what do they think about? What's the first thing that comes to mind? Is it a good report, like Timothy says? Or is it bad report? When they say, oh, Mark, well, yeah, I know what he does on the weekends. I said that because I know that. See, he has a good testimony. You see what I'm saying? He has a good testimony. And he has a good character. When people, what's the first thing people think of? When your name is said in front of people, they're like, oh, well, I really don't care what he says because his opinion doesn't matter. Well, I mean, it's so important to have... I just can't stress that. That's, Solomon says it's worth more than gold and rubies. And with all the Jews who dwelt there, we'll skip down to verse 15. He says, "For you will be my witness to all the men of what you have seen and heard. Now, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized. Wash your sins away, calling on the name of the Lord. And it happened when I returned to Jerusalem that I was praying in his temple, that I was in a trance. And I saw him saying, make haste and go to Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. And he said, Lord, you know in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believed on you. And the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, and I was also standing... consenting to his death, and guarding and the guardian of the clothes, which were those of those who were killing him. And he said to me, depart, for I will send you from there to be to witness to the Gentiles." The last thing is your life changed. Life before, I'm going to drill these into your head because these are so important. Life before, life encountering, and life after. Now, Paul talks about how he's going to go witness to everyone else. Guys, when you have a testimony, and you've met Christ, what's the first thing you do? You should go witness. You should tell everyone. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here, just in this room, talking. That's why we're here. Important. Life before Christ should be your shortest paragraph. If you look at those verses, the shortest one is to talk about Him before Christ. You don't want to glorify sin. I think that's the next thingy. Never glorify sin. You don't want to be like, oh yeah, well, you know what, guess what I did? Guess how much fun I had. It's not, you don't want to do that when you're witnessing to someone. Always use Scripture. Okay. Of course, this is Scripture, so it's pretty evident it's there. When you're witnessing to someone, your experience and your word is important, but more importantly is that you use Scripture. When I talked to you and when I spoke to you about my testimony, pretty much for about 5 solid minutes, that's all you got was Scripture, am I right? I mean, there's a lot of Scripture that I just quoted, like, everything on the sheet, practically. Scripture is so important when witnessing. Because faith comes by hearing, and what? In hearing. In hearing by the Word of God. People might come to Christ because of your testimony, but they come to Christ first and foremost because of the Word of God. I listened to a speaker for about 3 days. Great, great speaker. But he didn't open his Bible one time. Not one time. How much fruit was in that from that message? Not very much. How much fruit? When you open the Word is sharper than two-edged sword. It's living. When you open it, Paul's going to talk to... Oh, Peter. You know, when Peter was standing up, just like Paul was right after Pentecost, and he talks to all the people, what's it say? It says they were cut to the heart. Why were they cut to the heart? Because he used Scripture. He quoted, like, so much Scripture. Scripture is so vital. Avoid church phrases, like walk the aisle. When you're talking to a lost world, and you say, well, yeah, I walked the aisle, got saved, and was born again. It's probably true, but what in the world does that mean? It's like, you know, we had at our church last night, this guy sang a song. It was talking about, it was a great song. It was about the clay and the potter, you know. And he says, I'm glad Jesus didn't throw away the clay. It's really cool. But if someone's in there who has no idea what a clay and the potter is, they're not going to have any idea what he's talking about. He threw away the clay. What in the world is that saying? You know? I mean, don't avoid church phrases. Or if you use them, like if you say, I was born again, great. Jesus said, John 3:3, very, verily I say unto you, unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Then explain what born again means. Born again is when Christ changes you and makes you a new person. All right, don't just leave it there. I've done that, and people just look at me like, what? Yeah, anyway. Okay, we'll come to that. Look, we'll flip over to 1 Corinthians. this PowerPoint's mainly to help me more than y'all. 1 Corinthians 2. This is Paul talking again. Paul, who wrote more than half the New Testament. He says, verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellent speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God." Now, I'm going to read that again. "Now, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellent speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God." Guys, if you have a testimony and you're saved, that's all you need. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to go to anywhere to share your faith. You know everything. You don't have to know everything to witness to people. You know enough. Paul says, "I didn't come to you with great speech, great theology. I came to you with what I knew." And then he says, "For I determined not..." This is what he knew. This is what he knew. He says, "I determined not to know anything among you except" what? "Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's it. That's the bottom line. That should be our life right there. That's his life. "Nothing in my life except for Christ and Him crucified." And that's vital. That's the whole message we're sharing with him. But then I love this next verse. "I was with you with weakness and fear and much trembling." Did y'all catch that? Weakness, fear, much trembling. We're talking about Paul. Paul. That shows us that no matter how nervous you are, sometimes you'll get nervous. There you go, that's it. Sometimes you will get nervous. But Paul was nervous, and it's okay. You'll be too. But God will help you. It'll be all right.